The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 38 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's synods or science, apostolates and apps, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello and welcome to episode 38 of The Catholics of Oz. My name is Lindsay Stantz, your host for today, and joining me today is my self-isolating sister, Caroline Knight. Caroline, how are you today?
I'm feeling a bit isolated. No, I'm good, thank you.
That was the first thing that came to mind, sorry.
Trapped indoors for... How long has it been now? 3 weeks?
Oh, yeah. We're just over 2.5 weeks now, yeah.
Week three of being in lockdown again.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to have to start scratching lines into the wall to count the days, like they're doing in those prison TV shows. Put a line through it for five, yeah. And also joining us today, Lino Sabol. How are you going today?
I'm good, Lindsay. How are you all?
Yeah, doing well, doing well.
Good.
You know, considering everything. So
That's true.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that very soon and the way that that it's changed our lives. But before we do that, just want to remind everyone to remember to like the Catholics of Oz on the SQPN Facebook page when our episodes come out. And please share them on Facebook and on Twitter, on any other social networks that you use, please. And don't forget to leave us comments and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and your other favorite podcast apps that you could be using. Don't forget that SQPN also posts all of its shows on YouTube. So just find SQPN on YouTube, hit the bell to get notifications for when new episodes of The Catholics of Oz and all the other great shows on SQPN are released. Any feedback that you leave us on Apple Podcasts, you know, lovely 5-star reviews with comments, we love them. And they help us. They help us to get noticed by more people, which is what we're all about. We're all about connecting to people, sharing our faith, listening to your faith story, and having a bit of fun along the way. So with that, let's start with Faith Beyond Borders.
Well, I'm actually feeling rather good about this. I think we've all arrived at a very special place, eh? Oh. Spiritually, ecumenically...
How do you make somebody love you without affecting free will?
Welcome to my world, son. You come up with an answer to that one, you let me know.
Yes, I had to work very hard to pass Latin and theology.
Quite. Those are, of course, the most important things.
Oh, yeah.
Our Faith Beyond Borders today, it kind of crosses a little bit into the something personal, but you know, there's a couple of things we wanted to talk about. Last episode, which would have been released 2 weeks ago, we talked about going back into stage three restrictions, which is where we are. It feels a bit like a here we go again, because we went into this. Stage three was the worst that it got to. Stage four, it would be a total lockdown. There's been talk about it, but it looks, I don't want to say too much and be wrong, but it looks like we are probably going to avoid that at this stage unless something, you know, drastic happens, but yeah. We are going to be in stage three for a little bit longer. So it feels like we've gone, you know, all the way back. You know, we had all this progress, we were doing well, people started coming out of their homes again, but unfortunately there were a few things that happened that that let this virus go a bit out of control in Victoria again. We've had some sad news of, you know, people dying in hospitals, and we're watching the numbers every day of cases, and we're hoping that it stays in those triple digits, and, you know, and hopefully it gets driven down. But what it's meant for us, you know, in one aspect of our lives, and that is the life of our faith, we've been doing home masses for longer than we expected. So we were on the verge. In fact, we were just a couple of days away from masses being open to 50 people. And that would have been better. That would have probably coaxed me out. I would have been feeling a bit more tempted to come out and go to mass. But that before it could even happen, it had to get cancelled, unfortunately. It wasn't just the Catholic Church, it was every institution, every religion, everything. So the whole lot went back to what stage three looked like. So we're currently streaming masses. We are just over halfway through we're not even halfway through. Yeah, we're getting close to halfway through.
Yeah,
this six-week period that we're in.
Yeah.
So it's had to mean that we're streaming masses, and so I think we've all been trying something a little bit different with streaming mass this time. So, Caroline, can I throw it over to you first of all? Tell us what you've been doing in terms of attending mass and even keeping your faith life going as you, as we've gone through this latest period of restrictions.
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, technology has really played a big part in my faith life more than ever, I think, because obviously I can't physically go out to mass, can't physically go to the church, can't physically go and adore the sacrament, you know, the Jesus there present. So I've had to do it as much as possible from home. So, you know, even though there's a dispensation from Sunday mass, we're still keeping the, you know, the obligation is a dispensation. We are still keeping our obligation as best as possible. And watching a live streamed mass on Sundays. So, you know, we might go around to the different churches because one thing I've enjoyed is like tasting the different flavors or, you know, just trying the different masses, different styles of mass from different priests, you know, different parishes. So, you know, we've been going to our parish, you know, and, you know, Father Michael Papilli's beautiful masses that he does for us, his beautiful sermons, his wonderful insights. And then we go over to Ballarat, which is Father Rob Galea. He really resonates with Frankie because, you know, he's very engaging. You know, he's used to dealing with the youth and ministering to youth. So Frankie really loves
kids love him. Even my two boys I've got a two-year-old as well, and he stops to listen sometimes. I think the highlight was when he pulled out a chocolate bar in one of his sermons and Alexander was all over that was a that was a highlight of him. But not just
bringing
for gimmicks
out food
like that.
Every Sunday it will be perfect.
But not just for gimmicks like that, but even the way he speaks and he's animated, but he's holy at the same time, you know, and pastoral. I think the kids especially have loved that.
Yeah, they really respond well to it. And I find myself responding well to it as well. Then there's also, of course, our Mass from Melbourne Cathedral, which we love to listen to. It's a beautiful ceremony, just looking at the cathedral itself, which is so beautiful. Our Archbishop doing the Masses, the choir.
Episode 36, everyone. We interviewed the Archbishop. Don't forget. Friend of the show, Archbishop Peter Comasoli. Keep going.
I think we need him on again.
Caroline said it. Not
that was
me
my
this
fault
time.
This time. And I also like to watch the Sydney Cathedral Mass, which I also enjoy. They have a lovely choir, which I love the music choices because they love to go back in time. So they'll perform things from the 1500s or 1300s.
Lots of
or
chants,
whatever. And the music itself. So, cool.
And I've got to say, in a way, so they've New South Wales, which is for anyone who doesn't know, is the state which is immediately north of Victoria. I left out the Australian Capital Territory. Sorry about that. You're so small, guys. Sorry. They're in between us and Sydney, but New South Wales, the largest state, immediately north of Victoria. They're not in stage three restrictions, although they've got a few things
that's coming. Unfortunately,
they need to be a bit wary of how things are going there, and they are trying to control a small outbreak that's happening. However, having said that, they've been open for a lot longer than we have in terms of what they can do. So the masses have been more. You know, there's been more, more things, you know, more music, more people participating. Yeah. There's people's voices. You can hear responses from those masses.
Which is nice to hear.
Yeah. So it sounds like the mass of old, you know, of 6 months ago.
It does.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and then there's been, of course, our Uncle Alex who performs, he doesn't perform.
Who celebrates.
Celebrates mass in Peru. So he's a missionary priest with the Missionary Society of St. Paul, which is a Maltese order. And he is streaming mass every day from Peru. And it happens to come at 9 a.m. in the morning for us. So even though it's in Spanish, I don't know a lot of Spanish. I know some words, so I can follow along. And I might stream that like maybe while I'm working or something. So it's good.
And the mass is the mass. You know, you kind
mass
of know.
Mass is the mass.
You know,
and if you know your mass, you can follow. So it doesn't matter what language it's in, really. Yeah. So that's great for not just for keeping in touch with the faith, but also our uncle, which
our
is
uncle,
really
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. Who is doing? Who was already doing amazing work as a missionary priest in Peru. And now has had to do, you know, has been challenged by the COVID-19, you know, issue. It's pretty bad, you know, the situation he's in.
They're in a bit of a remote place, but still it's managed to catch up with their community as well, unfortunately.
Yeah. But he's managed to keep going.
Thank God he's fine. He hasn't been touched personally, like himself, by it. Like he hasn't contracted COVID, so that's hope it stays that way.
Yeah.
What else? Oh yeah. So I work from home, and then there'll be a midday mass, and so I think I'm actually attending more mass than I ever have in my life.
It's true.
Because I like to I find it so calming to have a mass that comes from. I usually watch the Melbourne Cathedral one in the. It's like 1 PM. It streams live, so
yeah.
I have a notification on YouTube, so that will come on. I'll put it on while I work. If I had a stressful day at work, then I just have that there, and I'm And then there's the usual. Streaming radio. I like to stream Catholic radio and use my apps to pray that I've spoken about before. So I think my faith life, so it's not physically in touch with anybody, like it's all in the home, but it's actually kind of growing, I think, because I can pray more, attend mass more, virtually. And, I've heard priests, I mean, not here necessarily, probably in the US, but some of them, I mean, I understand because they want people to go back into church physically, and they're advocating for that very strongly. But, I think their worry is that people just won't turn up to Mass again after this if they're not regularly attending. But I think they need to have a little bit more faith in the people, because if they really... have a faith already, then they're not going to leave. They're going to find ways to practice their faith, you know. So I think definitely in my case, you know, I think it's actually flourishing for me, you know. Yeah. So there you go.
That's great. I agree. Wow. So, Lino, Caroline has been experiencing mass buffet style, I guess. You know,
it's a total buffet, man. Oh, wow.
She's been enjoying an array of spirituality for a lot of different... I mean, you know, we can't go visiting other parishes, really, you know, like even in our in our regular life, you know, because you want to go to your home parish, you know. But
exactly.
Yeah. Yep. What about you, Lino? Have you been more of a loyalist, or have you been watching, you know, experiencing masses in different places? What have you and Bernadette been doing?
Oh, we were just going to the one. Gosh, not to the buffet, man. It's more for a snack. Dude, wow. Caroline, wow. The Holy Family, Father Michael. So we haven't got that far. We've had a week off. So Bernadette's more stronger than I have, because I tend to sleep in. She watches the 9:15 mass. Is that correct?
Yep. Yep.
Every day so far on the iPad. So she's been doing that. And no, we haven't gone beyond watching on cathedrals and others. Caroline's like, whoa, okay. She's like a streaming service, man. It's like all different different
it's really
parishes.
Nice to see.
Oh, now there's a business idea.
It's all cool.
It's really cool. Maybe you need to try a little bit. Something else.
I did watch. I'll try to watch out Father Alex, and I recognized it was in Spanish. I went, okay, I do know the mass, but then what are his sermons, Caroline? Does he speak Spanish in his sermons?
Yeah, it's all Spanish. Few words in Spanish, or even if you know a bit of Italian or something, it's a little bit similar. You can kind of pick it up. You can kind of understand what he's talking about. I went to Peru, it was a while ago now, but the more you hear Spanish, you tend to pick it up. There's a lot of words they repeat, so you kind of you get to understand what the words mean, and then you go, okay, so then you build on that, and then you follow. You can kind of follow. Yeah,
interesting.
So, exactly. Yeah. Now for us guys, it was Father Michael.
Lena, actually did get a chance to go to mass physically as the restrictions were starting to wind down between
times. Yeah,
so what's it like? What was it like having a chance, first of all, to go back and physically be there? What's the difference between then and now for you?
Now, it was like a longing to be part of a spiritual part of the mass. You know, you go there and you go, oh, this is like, I wouldn't say a norm, if you even know what I mean. It's just like I'm back in the church and I'm being with God. But then you look around, there's no one there much. You know, you know, you miss those little, you miss those community with each other.
Yeah, you do. You miss our friends, don't you?
Exactly. You know, all of us, you know, that after Mass, we come outside and have a little chat and, you know, you see the kids having a going around and
have a joke with Father.
Father Michael.
He's got a great sense of humor.
Exactly. And also, Bernie's always has a go at him about his sermon about anything that he talks about.
Really? Oh, that's funny. Inside news.
Exactly. Especially when he has sort of a jokes about female.
Well, the husband and wife humor. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Oh, Father Michael, about your sermon. And I go, babe. No. Did you go? But it felt good. And as you receive the Holy Spirit, it's so different, guys. It is so, and you guys know, when you receive the Holy Spirit inside you, the Spirit of God and the Body of Christ, it's I can't explain it. Yeah, it's so different. But then when you watch the streaming and everything, and you read that prayer, thank goodness for that prayer, as Father's holding the host up.
The spiritual communion prayer.
Exactly. That's a great introduction. I mean, sorry, part of the Mass. Yeah. If he didn't have that, he would just hold it up and everyone's going, okay, are we meant to say a prayer? Is it that direction?
Yeah.
You know, and just keep people enticed into the, not enticed, within the Mass.
Keep you involved. It's great. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, one of the great gifts of spiritual communion, first of all, it was a great gift to have, first of all, you know, when we were given this idea of what a spiritual communion could be like, and we talked about it in an episode in the early 30s, I forgot now, before as things were getting worse and worse in the first set of restrictions. But, Lino, what you're saying, like, it hits me as well, because when you, like, for example, I've seen people do Eucharistic adoration on TV, you know, stream live. It's like, wow, big deal. You know what I mean? Like, I can pray, I can join in, but it's not the same as being there.
Having
a priest lead us in the spiritual communion prayer, I feel like it bridges the gap to a degree. It's not a substitute for communion.
But it's
better than nothing. But it does pull the Eucharist out of the screen and into my home, I feel like, anyway, at least. It gives the presence of Christ something more tangible for me.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you're so right.
That's it.
Yeah. So I think the Sant family have been a little bit in between you guys, so we haven't gone full buffet style. it's been more of a taster, I guess. hors d'oeuvres.
Whitman sampler.
Yeah, actually, you know, it's not so much the, you know, not as extreme as the Krispy Kreme box that you get that has a whole bunch of different donuts in it for you to try.
Oh, totally Krispy Kreme. Yeah.
Think of a smaller version of that. Now I want to get Krispy Kreme later, but that's a different problem altogether.
Sugar.
Yeah.
We're getting KFC again today.
That's a whole other story.
Mention that later.
So we have from time to time dips between Father Rob Galia's Masses and our home parish. So we don't want to lose our connection to our home parish Mass. We do it often, but just for the kids every now and then, there we'll dip over to Father Rob's. I also love his style of Mass. The way that, you know, his preaching, his sermons are simple. Like they're very, and I don't want to compare him to anyone else. It's his style. Not to compare his style to anyone. Just his particular style of delivering a sermon. They're simpler, they're practical on that day-to-day kind of level. They come from the heart, it gets to the heart of, you know, of the gospel. And he's always, there's always one line in every one of his sermons, there's always one line that's really, really, really sums up what it's all about, what that gospel is all about and what it is for us today. And I find that really beautiful. We've obviously been attending a lot of our online masses with Father Michael from our home parish, the Holy Family as well. I cannot put myself in his shoes or the shoes of any priest in Victoria and even begin to think about what it feels like for them to have finally had parishioners coming back and then have that all taken away from them again. Because I think what must it be like to, you know, they were up to 20, you know, went from 10 to 20. They were this close to 50 and then suddenly went to zero. And they're only allowed to have people who help out. So they can have a couple of musicians, a reader, and anyone who does the, you know, like all the videos and streaming and everything. So he's got it most like three people or four people, including himself, there in a church again.
That's right.
Yeah, so it must be pretty tough for them. So let's as much as we don't like not being able to go to Mass, I think we need to pray for our priests, because what they're doing is, you know, it's heroic in the sense that they are walking into a church, you know, alone, saying a Mass every day, talking to a camera rather than talking to faces. And that can be, must be a really strange thing to have to do.
They're doing such a good job, though. And it's so good to see how much they've embraced, you know, technology.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't heard of anybody saying, no, I don't want to do it, I'm too scared. You know, they've all just gone for it, you know.
Of course.
They're really good. I mean, there's a few teething problems at the beginning. Like
some
just
great
about
teething
every
problems
mass
at the start,
But
there's
like,
technology.
You know,
there's technology.
But it's been really good. And it's an opportunity. Like I said, you know, I go around the different masses. I mean, I forgot to mention, I even watch them from the United States, you know, I love to, you know, I just think that they've done such an amazing job extending their mission out to not just preaching face to face, but taking on technology, taking on what comes next, you know, and really extending out what they can do for their people. So, you know, good on them for doing that. And, you know, we've been blessed that we're able to participate because they're willing to do it. So,
do it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Wow. So let's move this discussion to a discussion about the future now, right? So there was this article that I shared with you guys from the Melbourne Catholic, which is the Archdiocese of Melbourne's sort of Catholic magazine. And so they had a discussion about the concept of missionary discipleship. And I actually want to start by going to the very end, to the last line of this article. And it says this, it says, as the parishes of the future emerge from this current COVID-19 crisis, may we see communities of passionate missionary disciples stand up as the difference makers of the next generation. So this, the person who wrote this article, Lorraine McCarthy, who actually has her contact details in it. So it's in the show notes. So if anyone, especially in Australia, I guess, is interested, there's a phone number and an email address. I'm assuming that's a work number, I'd hope anyway. But anyway, there's a phone number and email address that people can contact to find out more. But what she's going on about is what would a parish look like if it was full of people who are described as missionary disciples? Now, she says this is it's a challenging dream, but it's a dream that we should have an aspiration for. You know, we're not going to change our parishes overnight. But essentially, look, if I were to put this into a sentence, I think what she's talking about is what would it look like if we had a parish of people who were transformed by Christ? That's essentially it. Mm. So people who had an encounter with Christ, they surrendered because of that encounter. They're now their followers, and now they're doing, you know, they're living the gospel, you know, actively. They've made the choice to live the gospel. And I'm not talking about like some kind of, you know, and then Jesus, I saw the light and he came to me, and now, you know, stuff like that. But they've listened to the gospel. They've read the gospel. They've encountered Jesus through the gospel and through, you know, through their parish. They've met other missionary disciples, and they've encountered Christ through people. And, you know, and they're thinking, yes, I want to encounter Christ the same way that those people have encountered Christ. And that's the growth of the parish. So she talks about, and I won't go through this whole article because there's a lot, but it's worth having a look at. But she said, what do they look like? They're people who worship. That is, that they've got an active and open sense of worship when they're at Mass. They're also participating in the sacraments, you know, frequently. So Eucharist, obviously, and reconciliation. So they've recognized the value of the sacraments and they're participating. That's their worship. They pray. They have an active prayer life. And they know that prayer is part of all of their day, not just the times when they make the sign of the cross and recite a prayer, but it's part of, you know, everything that they do. Ingrained in everything they do. They're people of service, so they want to serve the people in their parish. They want to serve the people. They also want to take their parish outside, Faith Beyond Borders now. They want to take it outside of their parish and continue that service in every other realm of their life as well. They give. They're generous in their giving, so it's a pretty obvious one, right? If we give what we have for the benefit of others. They want to learn more about their faith. They are discerning what God is continually calling them to do. So We could talk about vocation, but vocation takes on, you know, if your vocation is to be a priest, for example, well, what kind of priest are you being called to be? If your vocation is to be married, what kind of marriage is that going to be? If it's to be, a teacher or a banker or whatever it might be, in what capacity, in what ways that, you know, how is God calling you to be in that particular way? You know, how is the gospel urging you to live out that, whatever that mission might be? They value fellowship. That is, they love their community. They don't just come to church and speed out as quickly as they possibly can. Yeah. Right. No criticism if people do. There may be reasons why you do that. But the point is that they can go to Mass and they can see people they know and want to know them more. But they also see people that they don't know and they go up and say, "Hi, how are you doing?" You know, that kind of building a sense of fellowship. And they're fruitful. And she simply describes it as, think of Galatians 5:22-23. What's the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know that off by heart. I just want to let everyone know I read that. So just in case anyone was impressed that I knew that whole list. But essentially, like what Lena was saying before is they're full of the Spirit. And when I say full of the Spirit, again, it's not like some magic, you know, the Spirit is inside me and I can feel it. And it's making me do this, you know, something like that. Full of the Spirit because they've been transformed by the gospel. The Spirit-filled life is marked by these particular characteristics. How do we know that we're living a Spirit-filled life? Because we are trying in our brokenness to be faithful and gentle and to have self-control and love and joy. And I won't read the whole list again and impress everyone. So that's essentially what they are. She goes on to say what they're not as well. But I won't go into that whole list of what they're not, but maybe just a taster for people to, for people to read this article. I think it's worth reading, especially if you're in a parish and you think, it could be a bit more alive around here. Well, you could be, you know, by the call of your baptism, you could be the missionary disciple that your parish needs. One thing it does say in here is it's not up to Father. This is the other thing as well. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks it's the parish priest's job to evangelize. They have an active, very important role in teaching and evangelizing and celebrating Mass for us. But we cooperate with that. That why does the priest say at the end of Mass, go and share the good news of the gospel, or go out and, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, there are different versions of go and do this, but he says go. He doesn't say, go and I'll do all the work for you now when you come back and do Mass for next week, you know.
No. Yeah, just true. Try and behave yourself.
Yeah. Come back in a week. We'll see how you went. Yeah, nothing like that. No, he says, go.
Don't forget confession, guys. Yeah. Don't forget confession.
But to paraphrase, he says, go and be the gospel. Go and be the Spirit-filled gospel wherever you go. So I think this is a beautiful dream for every parish. It's a beautiful dream for the church. People talk about, there's not many Catholics around or whatever. Stop saying that. Just forget about that. let Christ work in you, so that you can work for others. I think this is probably the more important thing. We're not a numbers game. We're a faith. And our faith doesn't depend on numbers. If we get better numbers, great. It's awesome. You know what I mean? But the key thing is, how do we make our parishes that place where people come and they say, I would love to be part of this community. Think of your Easter and your Christmas Catholics, you know, the people they talk about who come to Mass, or the people who come for baptisms. There's like, we've seen it where you have a baptism and there's like about, 20% of them are practicing Catholics and the rest are all people who have no idea what a church is or where the front door is, you know. And without criticizing anyone, they come into Mass, for the baptism like 5 minutes before and they're standing at the back talking. Everyone's like, shh, quiet, giving them looks.
And then they take your seat that you usually sit in.
Yeah, and then they sit in your spot at Mass. What is with that, guys? Come on, Yeah.
And you have to sit somewhere else.
Yeah. And so I guess so this beautiful article just says, well, how would your Mass be transformed if we were firstly making missionary disciples out of everyone and then forming them further, that is growing their faith more? So she says, making and forming are two different things. So she said, if we mix them up, that, for example, if you try and nail in a screw with a hammer, then you've missed the point, right?
Making
is the encounter. And then forming is the continued growth that we have, because even after we say, yes, I love Jesus and I want to be in a relationship with Jesus and I want to carry it on and I want to be whatever, we haven't all got it together. We don't have it all together. And the key thing here is to say that we continue our formation, and we have to have the right formation for the right people as well. So not just have tons of programs in a parish or they're all about evangelization, but have the right programs as well. So I've said a lot. This I thought was a great article. So whether you guys want to respond to the article or just about, you know, or talking about parish life, I'm happy with either. But Lena, I might throw to you first. What do you think about the article or the possibilities of parish life as we emerge eventually from COVID-19 again, whenever that might be?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that popped out in my mind when you sent this to me, Lindsay, was about my wife, Bernadette. Because Bernadette used to be a missionary for an organization, well, a group called CFC, which stands for Couples for Christ. The majority of them, the organization is Filipino, but that's beside the point. Sorry about that.
You had to represent. That's okay. We understand.
And then so the missionary, just everything that it describes here is what majority of what she did. She had to travel to different states, different countries, to evangelize God's word and what she was doing as a missionary of discipleship. It just popped into my mind because but this is a bit of a backstory because I've known Bernie for so long, way before we got married, but that was like a hello, casual, goodbye, during our CFC days. And then, of course, in 2006, seven, okay. I'm going to be in big trouble now.
Hopefully she won't listen to this episode. Whoops.
She probably will. I'll be in big trouble. Lena. And what she was doing as well. You know, majority of the places she went to evangelize, I would say, what were they called? Modern day. What I'm trying to say is, first world countries, more poorer countries. So let's say the Philippines, Papua New Guinea, other places like that, where she can evangelize to the poor and to the needy and to help them in that sense. And Dad, sorry, when you sent me this article, I'm saying it again, it just reminded me of what she used to do.
Yeah, sure.
And I forgot to even ask you if she wanted to discuss this with her, but I'll have to ask her again. She's a bit shy on the podcast, even though it's a podcast. Come on, guys. But I should have asked her if she wanted to talk about more about it. But probably next time, listen more about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything you said about this being a disciple of God, you know, missionary discipleship of God, it's great. Why not? Have a go at it. Have a try. It depends on your situation. Your family situation and your selfish situation. I understand that. But give it a go and see how you go with it.
Yeah, that particular type of missionary work is what is that thing about taking it beyond your parish, isn't it? She's, you know, obviously had a parish experience for a long time and she's, you know, felt that call to take it beyond that too. Yeah. No, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And Bernadette is a person, you know, all right, she's got her Maltese rage, but that's, you know, we all have that.
We can't fault her for that. It's part of our personality.
But she's a person who has a heart of joy as well. You know? Yeah. She has a big heart of joy. She laughs at my jokes. So that means she's obviously a happy person. But I can even remember, you know, so the first time we encountered her was at a Youth for Christ camp. We were like young adults, you know, going into this camp, wondering what's going on. Exactly. And here was this joyful person who was making everyone happy and being, you know, even in the mornings when we were tired, you know, she's all like full of joy. I don't know how she did that, but you know, clearly a morning person.
Morning, man. Woo.
Yeah. But you know, a person who had that mission spirit, that joyful mission spirit to share with others. We encountered that back in the early days. Caroline, how about you? Your response to this article or parish life or anything else that ties in?
Well, first of all, I think it's a really good summary. Like, it's like if you want to know how to practice perfectly, read those dot points. It's really good. I love that. It's a good guide. Mm-hmm. And secondly, Lino, I love that it reminded you of Bernadette. I thought that's just beautiful. You know, like your mind went straight to her and that's just beautiful. And and also, I guess my mind went to some of our parishioners as well who are really passionate about the faith and, you know, some of them who I really admire and love to talk to, like, after Mass, you know, like, I'm kind of missing them now. But, like, for example, Nancy, she's one of the older parishioners. I've known her since I was a child, and she's so enthusiastic, and she'll come and bring you prayer cards after, stuff them in your bag and go, yeah, have this. I made this card for you. It's this prayer you have to pray every day. Here's this novena. Go sign up for that prayer. Go sign this petition. Go. It's like, I love people like that. You know, they're really like the backbone of our parish. There's so many other people, not just Nancy, but there's so many others in our parish who, you know, really participate and and get us motivated, I guess is a word. But, like, yeah, so I think those are kind of people that we can look up to and aspire to be like, because they fully practice their faith in every single way. It's not just their faith on Sunday. It's their whole life. It's just, it's part of them, you know, so they don't know how to separate it. It's just their whole self. And I think that's probably really what we need to do, is to incorporate it in ourselves, not just I'm a Catholic on Sundays and when I pray and when I, you know, give this money here or when I go and you're always a Catholic. You're always, you know, a disciple of Jesus. Once you become one and you sign up for it, you're in, okay? So you've got to do the whole thing. There's no use just taking, you know, just doing one thing or the other. It doesn't work like that.
Exactly.
You're either all in or you're not in.
The whole, the whole hog. The whole hog.
I mean, you don't get you don't get the full benefits either, you know, if you're not trying to develop yourself in the faith either. I mean, the joy of it comes. Okay, it's not always easy, but there's a joy in it, you know. It's fulfilling. Out of everything in my life, I try to do so many things sometimes, but this is the only thing that really fulfills, you know, fills me up spiritually and in every way. So, you know, so the more you practice, you know, the more you try and develop yourself, you know, the more you get out of it. And you just basically incorporate it into yourself.
Amen. Exactly.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful, Caroline. Beautiful.
Yeah. That was a long segment. I guess when we talk about our faith, we get a bit carried away, don't we?
We do.
It was the last episode.
But, yeah, the key thing. It's great to be able to speak about your faith and speak about the things that work and the things that are, that we're passionate about. So I strongly recommend this article. It's probably about a five-minute read. It'll be in our show notes, and we'd love to hear what you as our, you know, listening community have to say. We're all, wherever you are in the world listening, your parish life is in one way or another, depending on how COVID-19 is. If you're in the United States, it depends what state you're in. Your parish life is, you know, it depends what restrictions you're under as well. So what are your hopes for your parish when you emerge, or what is your parish doing as it's currently emerging? We'd love to hear more about that. Okay, so let's move on. Caroline, we're going to throw it over to you, and it's time to talk about science.
Ah, what a fine day for science.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Can you reverse the polarity?
I'll do my best.
So today, Caroline, it's all about Martians. All right, let's everyone's going to Mars these days. I feel like I'm being left out. So
gotta get on with it.
Everyone's going to Mars.
Join the gang. Yep.
All right, what's happening?
Yes, let's go to Mars. Everybody's doing it this week, so why don't we go with them? okay, why is everybody going to Mars between July and August? Because there is about a 3-week window that has a favorable orbit with, alignment between Earth and Mars. And this only occurs every 26 months. So if you want to go, now's the best time. And in 26 months' time will be another good time.
I'm going to pack my bags quick.
let's go.
It takes the shortest amount or the least amount of fuel and energy to get to Mars. So you can go the long way if you want, but, you know, it's probably more expensive. So we've had two missions launch currently in July and one more to go in August. So let's start with China. China have launched a mission to Mars. It's called the Tianwen One, mm-hmm. and which is translated to Questions to Heaven. And it is their first attempt to land a rover on Mars. They're using a 5,000 kilogram spacecraft, which contains an orbiter and a lander.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got both of those. They launched on the 23rd of July successfully, and they did try in 2011. It failed, but this time they got it right. So good for them.
Well done.
Really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that. Actually, I watched a couple of these launches that you're talking about, yes, so I managed to watch this one live. Yeah.
We had a great time this week. There were many rocket launches including these two, these Mars ones. So it's pretty awesome. And even our news channel, the weather guy is very excited about rocket launches. So for him, they streamed, it happened to be on in the morning. So they launched them live, they streamed them live as well. So you could watch on YouTube and on the news. That was great.
Just quickly, I happened to watch, what was the one, the Minotaur 4 one. It launched out of the United States. And I was watching the map. And it happened to have, which state was it again? Oh, because I forgot where it was now. Anyway, but the thing, it was on the coast, on the east coast, I think it is. And I could see Massachusetts, and I messaged Dom, and I was like, Dom, I can see Massachusetts from here.
Although, it's still a long way away. From his house.
Yeah. He wouldn't be able to see the rocket from his house. No, but
yeah. I would love to live near rocket launches. Anyway.
Yeah,
I will move to Florida one day. I will.
Oh, it'll be awesome. Yeah.
So where was I?
Sorry about that little aside.
China launched from the Wenchang Satellite Launch Center with their Long March 5 rocket. They're using their Long March. That's a Chinese designed rocket. And they're hoping to reach Mars in February 2021.
Mm-hmm.
The orbiter will release their rover then in April 2021 in a large basin called Utopia Planitia. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Utopia Planitia, and Lino and I are very familiar with this because that will become a shipyard in Star Trek where they build their Starship for the Federation.
Okay. Thank you, Star Trek. As always.
They're setting up now. They've got to, you've got to start early. So that's,
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So
now we know that China is manufacturing our starships. There you go.
Well, they manufacture a lot, so that would make sense.
Just a disclaimer for our listeners, none of what I said above is true. Sorry about that.
It's not the my brain. Don't worry about it. It's the science segment, not the fake science segment. Anyway. Science fiction, that's what I'm trying to say. Okay, I have a head cold and I can't think properly. Okay, back on track. So this is actually an area, it's got a lot of volcanic rock there, and it's actually the area where Viking 2, which is an old NASA mission, landed 30 years ago, around 30 years ago. So it's a well-known site already. And if they get there, they will be the second country after the United States to land a rover on Mars. So pretty good.
Cool.
What an achievement. So the orbiter will orbit Mars for one Martian year, which is almost two Earth years. So 268.7 Earth days, sorry. Mm-hmm. So they'll have the orbiter, and then the orbiter will act as a communication link for the rover. And they've got a pretty comprehensive set of things they want to achieve. So they want to study geological structures. They want to understand surface characteristics on Mars. They want to study the climate. The orbiter has 7 instruments itself, so I assume it's going to be studying atmosphere as well. The rover has 6 instruments. It's got cameras. It's got a subsurface radar. So it's going to be looking at geological structures below the Martian surface.
Oh, wow.
It will have a spectrometer as well. And it will also have a magnetic field detector, which I think is pretty exciting because they want to find out more about Mars' past magnetic field because currently doesn't have anything like Earth does. That's pretty interesting. So I expect a lot of science coming out of there from next year onwards. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with and papers they publish and so on. So that's launch number one. second Mars launch. Now, this one was pretty cool because it's from the United Arab Emirates.
Yes, yeah.
So, and this is something that they're so proud of because it's something that is not, I mean, they haven't done before.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting. So, yeah, it's the Arab region's first attempt to go interplanetary. So, and firstly, I didn't even know they were into space. So I just
yeah,
love
I didn't
to
know
see
they had
other countries.
Program, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they did launch from Japan, though, didn't they? They used a,
it is
the Japanese
from Japan.
Launch pad. Yeah.
Yes. So they went on the 19th of July from the Tanegashima Space Center in Japan. They did use the Mitsubishi Heavy Industries H-11A rocket.
Mitsubishi.
And,
it was a
yes,
Mitsubishi.
It was a
yeah.
Mitsubishi. It's pretty cool. They don't just do
okay.
cars and microwaves. They
do
rocket.
So, wow. Okay.
And it's a very cool looking rocket. I actually
it is cool.
enjoyed yeah. watching that one.
I was worried because Mitsubishi hasn't always been a reliable type of car. So I'm glad the rockets are
better.
Yeah,
they get better now. Not so many on the side of the road that they used to be. So it's pretty good. They can do rockets. They've successfully launched. They've come
wow.
a long way.
Cool.
So they originally planned to launch on 14th of July, but it got delayed a few times due to mm-hmm. weather. We've seen that a few times, especially
yes,
with
yeah.
the manned launch to the space station recently by the United States, you know,
yes.
but luckily we got there.
How many late nights have we had where we're up
I
late,
know.
We've stayed up, we're ready
I
to
know.
Go, and then it's like cloud cover. It's like, oh.
yeah. And I will do it again. If
yes, we will do it again. Yeah, that's right.
yes, yes. They're due back in... Early August.
Early August,
so,
yes. Looking
yeah.
forward
oh,
to
wow.
that.
Okay.
Yeah. Looking forward
yep,
to seeing
yeah,
that.
Back. Cool, cool.
Yeah. So the United Arab Emirates mission, they want to add to information that, you know, that we already have about Mars. So they really want to gather data about the Martian atmosphere. So it's an atmospheric mission, this one.
Yep.
They will be using, they'll be using an equatorial orbit of the planet. And they would love to study how weather changes over the course of the day and the year on Mars. And they want to study how the planet is losing its atmosphere. So they'll be
oh,
studying
wow.
the chemical components on there. So they want to try and learn how and why the climate of Mars has changed.
Changing.
From having an environment that, you know, we know that had a lot of water. We've seen from past, you know, rovers that, you know, and we can see photos of like little rivers that were mm-hmm. there and
yes.
features
wow.
created by water. So Mars used to have a lot more water than before. So they really want to study that. And, you know, so it's changed from that to now having an environment, you know, an atmosphere that's predominantly carbon dioxide. So, yeah, they really want to study how did it get from being full of water and lush and beautiful to the way it is now.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, totally gone and barren almost.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Wow.
So it has three instruments for doing that. It will have an imager and two spectrometers. The imager will be looking at the surface details of Mars, and the spectrometer will be tracking what makes up the atmosphere and, you know, the chemicals in the atmosphere, et cetera. And it will be doing that over one Martian year.
Awesome.
So, number three, the USA mission, it is the Perseverance mission. It will be... Currently, it's set to launch on 30th of July.
Yep.
Now, we'll see, depending on weather, hopefully weather's good. If it is, they'll go. If not, you know, delayed and they'll go again. So
go again.
It'll be from Cape Canaveral, as most of their missions are.
Yep.
This one is a rover mission. It's set to land on February 18th in 2021, and it's also set for a Martian year. But as we know with these rovers, they tend to go over. So we've had
yes,
you know, other
yeah.
rovers that are currently on Mars that were, you know, that are over time and
yeah.
you know, they're going longer. So
they are literally past their due date and still sending
yeah,
things over, which is
and
awesome.
Information,
oh, wow.
which is awesome. I
oh,
love
cool.
their selfies. Oh, so cool.
yep. Just to interrupt, there's a great documentary on Disney Plus, and I forgot what it's called, but if you go to the
oh,
National
yes.
Geographic section, there's one about two Mars rovers and
go.
Their lifespan and how you know, and how they would, you know, for example, they would die for a certain amount of time, but then, you know, they would
back.
Get, they'd get sun, like energy from the sun again and come back
yes.
to life and
yeah,
or how they'd get
yeah.
stuck
oh, wow.
and how they'd have to like roll the wheels back
yes.
and forward to get them out of,
yeah.
you know.
And they actually yeah. Do the study on Earth. So they get like an analog type of surface
yes.
and they practice and then
yeah,
they can
or they
convert-
build it. Yeah.
Yes.
When it's stuck, they build the actual area in a in a building, like where it like what it might look like, and try and find ways to get it out. It's really cool.
And they send the commander down. It has worked too.
Yes. Totally recommend that on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Thanks, Lindsay. Cool, that's a good one. Yeah. Where was I? So this mission, it's got a lot of aims as well. So they want to explore and study the planet, and they want to actually take samples and prepare them in the hope of a future mission coming and picking them up and taking them back to Earth.
Awesome.
So the actual rover itself is based on the Curiosity rover. It's got a rectangular body, six wheels, an arm, a hand, camera, and instruments, but it's upgraded. So it's got an X-ray spectrometer, an ultraviolet laser. It's going to be looking for biosignatures from the past in the search for microbial life. That is exciting.
Yes.
That's good. And then it's also got a ground-penetrating radar looking under the surface of Mars.
Of Mars.
It'll be mapping the layers of ice, rock, and water to about 10 meters deep.
That is really interesting. That is very cool.
It has 23 cameras. So they're hoping to get more color images, more 3D imaging.
Excellent.
Oh my gosh. I cannot wait to see those images. This is cool. They have a microphone, so they can actually hear the Martians walking around underground and stuff.
It's turning right. Go left, go left.
So I'm looking forward to hearing that. I guess they'll be hearing the weather. They'll hear the wind. They'll hear
the
rover. They'll hear the actual instruments working. They'll have a drill, so they want to drill at least 30 or up to 40 rock cores and prepare the samples, and they're going to leave them in known locations so that a future mission can come and pick them up.
Awesome.
Whenever they get to do that. And a really cool part of this one is that they're going to have a helicopter inbuilt into it.
What?
And they will be trialing this helicopter over a 30-day period at some point in the mission as well down the track.
Like a drone kind of thing? Or a helicopter?
I think it's the thing itself. It's the helicopter is in it. I don't know. I actually have to find out
if it's
a separate thing. But, yeah.
Awesome.
Everyone's playing with drones these days. Everyone.
Yeah, I know. Even
on
Mars.
Even on Mars. Even on Mars.
So you're going to get tons of information out of that as well. So all of these missions together, all that information, we're going to learn so much more about Mars in the very near future. It only takes about 7 months to get there. So we don't have to wait nine years to get to Pluto. That was a long one. But, Mars is our planet next door. She's a bit cold. She doesn't have, a very strong magnetic field, a bit less gravity, red and dry and everything, but still beautiful and so much to learn about it. And I think by studying Mars, we can learn a lot about Earth as well because all the climate studies and stuff. So,
well, that makes sense,
And I guess like every other scientist, I'm hoping that we do actually find some signs of past microbial life or current microbial life.
Yeah.
Because I think that's our hope. I guess as a scientist, like hope you have to put it aside and just go look at the facts. But I think it would be amazing if we found something like that's there. So, yes. Stay tuned because I will sure report back on what any findings that come back from those missions when it gets to us. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
You've converted me, Caroline. Since all the rocket launches and everything, I've been getting into all this like space stuff. I've been watching these two YouTube channels. One is called NASA Space Flight. The other one's called Everyday Astronaut. And they both cover, launches, rocket launches when they happen. So, for example, China doesn't televise all of its rocket launches, but they go, they might know someone who's pointing their phone camera at it, or they'll find someone, and they'll start doing a live thing. But they also, yeah. like,
Can
they're
I
also
just say,
educating.
As a side, Lindsay,
What's
the
that?
Commentary yeah. on the China rocket launches, you will not get better. Oh my gosh.
Oh my
so
gosh,
funny.
That was, yeah. Was really, when you get amateurs, yeah, commentary, yeah, that's right, it's really good.
They're
yeah.
just so excited. Anyway, sorry to
When you get people going, whoa, look at that footage, you know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. yeah, it's so yeah. good.
Great
anyway.
Wides, yeah. But yeah, there's some great YouTube channels out there that are educational as well. Like these guys, like, know their stuff. Like they're, you know, they've all studied, they know something about it, and their discussions are great. The everyday astronaut guy, he's gone and interviewed Elon Musk a couple of times as well, so also finding out about the Starship they're trying to build to eventually get to Mars and all that.
Oh,
so
yeah,
really interesting.
When is
fascinating
that flying
stuff.
I want to yeah. see that one fly.
Yeah,
he promised it would be soon. When is it?
You have to wait.
I want to see a test flight.
Yeah,
it has to be a test flight sometime. Yeah.
Well, while we're in space, let's move on to our next segment. And Lino, we might actually start with your recommendation. So let's talk about entertainment.
I don't know where you get your delusions, laser brain.
It's not what we came here to do.
No, but it's what I'm going to do.
I have a plan. You've got a plan. I have part of a plan.
Are you not entertained?
So in this segment, we decided today that we would just share some of the things that, or the thing that we've been streaming the most and watching. And Lino, because we're in space, why don't you tell us, you and your wife have been going through Star Trek Enterprise.
No, that's correct. I thought to start, Bernie, on the science fiction side of things will be Star Trek, of course. I could have started on Aliens or Terminator or whatever the other...
All the action-oriented ones.
But the best sci-fi series at the moment is of Star Trek. So I started with her with Star Trek Enterprise. Now we have a SPQPN. Sorry, SPQ. SQPN.
SQPN. Yeah.
I'm so gonna be in trouble with that family who do Secrets of Star Trek. That's correct.
Yeah. Yes, that's Dom and Father Corey and Jimmy Akin. They do Secrets of Star Trek. Great show. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. I think they'll know more than I'm going to say about it. But yeah, apparently this is before Captain Kirk's days. 100 years? Is it 100 years?
100 and something years, yeah.
10 decade, like decade or so away before Captain Kirk. And then we have another Star Trek, so sort of in between. So I wanted her to start with this one, where before that. And then we were talking about it. Do I show her the Captain William Shatner series? And I went,
the original series?
The original series? Okay. Yeah, maybe not. I'll see how we
can
go.
Can I say, I love the original series, but I don't know if I would... I don't know if I would start a person. Maybe to appreciate the original series, you need to watch some of the more modern Trek now. I don't know. Like, it depends who it is.
Start with the originals. They're way better.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, if you start with that, they have to watch Spock's brain, you know, episodes like that.
Exactly.
It gives you a good foundation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like almost like watching Doctor Who. You know, you have to watch the originals. You know, you're attacked by this polystyrene.
The outfit, come on.
Why is that garbage bin chasing me? I know it's a Dalek.
Wait a minute, Daleks are fly now? Oh my gosh. That was a revelation. sorry, but just a bit of not a segue, but I want to change the sort of subject, because when Caroline said about Mars, and then soon enough she wants to talk about Big Brother, am I hearing
Don't
right?
Don't spoil it.
Sorry. Oh, no. Okay, then. All right, then.
I would never. No, I'm kidding. I did. I watched the whole series of Big Brother.
I'm just saying that, okay, this is, we've been watching also, she's been watching a lot of the reality shows. So from, what is it, MasterChef? She's watching The Voice. We've been watching more. Of The Voice and everything like that, but for streaming side of it, it's more Star Trek Enterprise. We watched another couple other shows, but majority of that's been like that, and also some of the movies. But for the sci-fi spacey thing, it's been Enterprise at the moment, and it's been enjoyable actually. I don't mind.
And you're
that.
About two seasons in, you said?
Two seasons.
Yeah,
and I remember watching it way back. Whoa, what was it? What's it say on Netflix? 2003? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a long
road.
It has been a long road.
Yeah. Yep, that was
from getting there to here and there.
I just heard. Yeah. I just heard nobody laughing at that joke. Yeah, anyway,
it's not a joke.
There you go. There's a laugh. There's a laugh. Yeah. So yeah, basically, it's just been that, guys. We try to catch up on The Chosen. We've been forgetting to watch. Well, yeah, you got to get back into that one soon. And that's basically it, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised you started with Enterprise because it's, you know, the first season's like, oh, it's okay, you know, it's got a couple of okay episodes here and there. But this show got better and better as it went on. I think there was certainly some really good episodes in season two. Season three, it hit its stride. I think having a season-long arc was good.
Yes.
I think most people probably say season four was the best. In terms of character growth, it seemed to be stronger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It only lasted about four seasons, Lins, or
four
five?
Seasons. Yeah. Only four seasons. I was heartbroken when they killed it off at the end of season four because I actually wanted more. I was actually, I'm really enjoying this now. Mm. And they're like, oh, we're going to cancel it. And like not only are we going to cancel it, we're going to finish it with an episode that's going to make you really unhappy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. We're going to ruin all the storylines that we had there. Yeah. Yeah. Most people just don't believe the last episode happened. They're just like, yeah.
Yeah,
because yep. the season actually finishes better in the second last episode than it does in the last episode. Yeah. No, it really does. Yeah, because they do this.
Okay.
No, but they do this. The last episode, like minus spoilers, they do this time jump to 10 years later, and not only that, it's actually told from the perspective of next generation crew members than the actual characters. So your characters don't really get that good a send off.
Then. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Have you seen that? Lino, did I spoil that? Have you seen that? Or
I haven't seen it yet, but I do good remember it. I do not know.
You'll forget it by then, Dora. You'll forget it by then. It's all good.
Yep. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. In fact, I remember it was the last 20 seconds of that episode that I really loved, and the rest of it, I was like, why did they do this? Yeah. Anyway, you have to watch it. You'll see. Exactly. Let's move on because, oh my gosh, it's been an hour. Caroline, over to you.
Okay, I'll
dare
go
we
quickly,
ask what you've been watching?
I feel like I'm going to be listing a bunch of sins here, but anyway, not as cool as you guys when it
comes
to
watching.
That's
what missionary disciples do, Caroline. They go to confession.
That's right.
They're not all bad, actually. Okay, so I'll start with the most sinful one, the Big Brother. Okay. I used to watch Big Brother when it was on when I was a teenager, and I thought I'll watch it again with my husband. He actually enjoyed it and wanted to watch it with me, so it's not just me, okay? So it was.
I guess it's like watching season one of The Next Generation. They're just as bad as each other, aren't they?
I don't know. I mean, look, I could talk about Big Brother with Big Brother buffs because there was a bit of a difference between this series and the old series, but hey, I won't go there because, well, we're going to run out of time, number one, and two, everyone will switch off the episode.
Good. Okay, next one.
MasterChef was really enjoyable. This year's season was great. New presenters and everything. I finally finished watching that.
So were the new hosts good?
New hosts were better than the old hosts.
Okay, good.
A little less stuffy, dare I say.
Oh, okay.
More down with the people, more just really fun, a lot of sense of humour, really engaged with the contestants and the audience and everything, so it was good. Yeah. Highlight episodes when Katy Perry was on, it was so funny. Anyway.
Okay, sure.
I heard about
that. Did she cook?
She didn't cook. She was one of the judges, and because she was pregnant, she was like into all the food. She was really loving it. So I suggest look it up.
That's
it's
great.
Really funny.
Oh, good one.
I did forget to say in our notes that I watched Hamilton. That was on Disney Plus. It's fantastic. I so enjoyed it. I would really, if it was ever performed live on stage here, I would really love to go and see it.
I think it's coming soon. I think that's coming soon.
It would be great. Lin-Manuel,
I'd wait till 2021.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, yeah, fantastic. All the cast, the singing, so talented. Every single one of them talented. The guy who plays the king, King George, oh my gosh, so funny. Really good. And it actually inspired me because I don't know much about the character Hamilton himself is one of the founding fathers there. So I actually looked him up and I watched some YouTube videos about him. It was very educational. It was great.
Very good.
And the last little thing I would love to mention is a Aussie comedy series. It was really kind of quaint and funny, you know, like Australian humour is a bit quirky and
it can be.
It can be a bit hard to understand, I guess, for people who aren't Australian. Yeah. But yeah. It's fantastic. I watched the ABC News every morning here, and they had one of the actresses and writers on, and she made me want to watch it, and the commercials, you know, and I thought, oh, this is humor I can understand, because sometimes Australian comedy can be like, how do you say?
Bad.
Bad, a bit risque, like something I wouldn't watch with my kids, but I can watch this with anyone. And
exactly. Oh, good, yeah.
Cool.
It's really funny. So it's about a guy who moves from Australia, the mainland, down to Tasmania. He goes to help out his mum. He's a kind of failed real estate agent. His mum has a real estate agency down in Tasmania. Everybody in the country town knows him, and he's like, oh, you're back. What, you couldn't hack the mainland? Like, you couldn't hack it. Everybody tells him that he's a failure. His best friends, she got married but didn't work out, and she was on her honeymoon and just turned up on the doorstep, and she kind of helps him to navigate, you know, his past and trying to help his mum out, and turns out she's a better real estate agent than he is. And anyway, she helps him to deal with a lot of things. He's a disaster, but everything's turning out great for her. Anyway, it's worth a watch. If you guys haven't seen it, I reckon, you know, give it a go. I've started watching from the first season. There's a few seasons there now on ABC iView, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. And
interesting.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah, I'm just really loving me and my
and
husband.
And called Rosehaven, you said?
Rosehaven, yeah.
Rosehaven, excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, good one.
Cool.
Well, for me, I've been watching, so I didn't get to watch a lot of TV, especially in isolation. It's interesting, you think during restrictions it could watch more. But
I think you're busy than ever, aren't you, as a teacher?
As a teacher, it just ramps up to 11 when during semester, unfortunately. However, as a bit of relief, I have been watching a show called Timeless. Now I only get to watch one episode like per day or per whatever it is whenever I sit down and watch it. It's on Amazon, Amazon Prime. I think it came out a couple of years ago, and there's two seasons of it. When I saw there were two seasons, like, oh, am I going to watch a show and it's not finished? So I did Google it, not to find out what happens at the end, but to find out if it does finish. And they said they do finish it satisfactory. So it does get an ending. So at least I know that I'm watching a show that's not going to be a dud, you know, where it's like, what happens next? You know, so it's basically... it's like Doctor Who without the Doctor. That's one way to put it.
Nice. So, has it got a TARDIS?
Well, it doesn't have a TARDIS, but it has this, like, a time machine. So basically, the premise is that an Elon Musk type billionaire invents, you know, a time machine.
Ooh, good idea, Elon.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. And it gets stolen by these criminals. So that's kind of how it all starts out. And the criminals are running around American history trying to change the past, like trying to change American history.
Mm.
So it's like this shiny, you know, beautiful, very modern looking, like, you know, it's like a ball shaped kind of time machine. And they've taken it. So they form a team. That's a bit like Stargate now. They form a team to go and stop them. So basically they know every time the time machine goes somewhere else, because it's connected to this older time machine that they have. Like it's this like kind of like experimental prototype run down looking one. You know, it's very cramped on the inside and everything. But there's only enough room for three passengers. So they know when it goes somewhere, and they can follow it with their own time machine and try and stop them. So they recruit this history lecturer. She's like, you know, she's a history buff who knows all about American history, but she doesn't necessarily – she's not tenured or anything, so it's like a temporary job kind of thing. So they hire her. They hire a military Delta Force, you know, commando type guy who just wants to get in there and shoot everyone.
It's almost like Stargate, almost, isn't it?
Yeah, like Stargate, yeah. And then you've got the techie guy, you know, who understands technology and who can actually, you know, pilot the time machine and use it because no one else can. So, the first episode, I actually wasn't impressed, and I thought, I'm not going to watch any more of this until, I was like, oh, you know, the special effects are a bit, you know, 5 years ago and you know, like the storyline's a bit, oh, how convenient they managed to fix that problem. Wow, you know, until the last 5 or 6 minutes of the episode where one of the main characters, her name is Lucy, the historian one, she bumps into the bad guy who has a diary of everything she's written about her time travel adventures, but this is her first adventure. And then he, so it adds all this, right, then there's a conspiracy going on. I won't say much else, but there's this greater conspiracy going on that adds more complication to it. And then because they travel through time, when they come back, there are things that change, which also affect the characters as well. So suddenly it became complex. Like, oh, okay, I actually kind of want to see what happens in episode two. And I started getting more and more into it. It's been, and I've enjoyed it. There's one episode, and I won't spoil anything, but there was one episode where they go to the Second World War, and they're in Germany. And they meet, I forgot his name, but the author of the James Bond spy novels, because he was a spy. So they meet him as a spy.
Yeah. Ian Fleming.
Yes. They meet Ian Fleming. And there's like all these like James Bond references, you know, like these jokes.
It's great.
And as a minor spoiler, they come back to the future again, like or back to the present. And they start going through all the list of James Bond movies, and there's a new James Bond movie that they've never heard of, and it's about the exact same story about being like about what happens to them. Like,
great.
Yeah. Anyway, there's all this great stuff, you know. And they drop the titles of James Bond movies throughout the episode of like these bad puns and stuff like that. So, I'm halfway through now the first season, and I'm really enjoying it. And I think, it's pretty family friendly. There's nothing I've seen in there that's been, you know, like, oh, why'd they put that in there? And I hope it stays that way. But it's fun. It's a fun series, and the character interactions are getting better and better. And the characters are not as one-dimensional as I thought they might have been in the first episode. They actually, there's development, there's tension, there's, you know, each of the characters has their own problem outside what's happening in the team, which affects what happens inside the team. So it's a lot of fun. So Timeless on Amazon Prime. There's two seasons, and hopefully anyone else who watches it also enjoys it too.
Cool. One question, though. Do you suggest watching all the James Bond movies first? So you get the references.
Some people like James Bond a lot. I'm actually not a big fan of it. Like, I don't know. I like the newer ones, but the Roger Moore ones.
We just
ones,
had
like,
to watch them as we were growing up.
Yeah, because, like, Dad would watch them. I'm like, what is this? You know, like, all the puns are so bad. You know what I mean? Like,
God, this is like, James Bond. You go, I must admit, you can't, like, every movie, you can't compare it to books. Because I've read a James Bond book. Ian Fleming's one of them. And it's so different. It is so different than you watching on, like, watching on it. And that's always
Hollywood has to spice it up a bit.
Exactly, then. Exactly. Yeah. And it's the same with.
Sorry to all the James Bond fans of the classic. Yeah,
exactly. Sure. And I don't. I could. You know, it's like Game of Thrones. It's like, that series, whichever it is. And then you read the book. I've read the book, and it's so engrossing, and there's so many things to do. And it's the same with everything. I think Lindsay and I and Jerry were talking about it. Comparing movies with books, like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, everything else. Yeah. And you have to try to not visualize, you know what I mean? Yeah. Don't visualize a movie with the book. The book is how it was written and how you want to interpret in a way, you know? I don't know, Star Wars started as a movie. Is that correct, Lizzie?
As a movie,
It started as a movie. So it did start as a book because there were books based on that too. And is this the way you interpret it with when you read the book? And just quickly before... I won't take too long. One thing is Bernie reads a lot of Stephen King books.
She loves them,
Yeah, when you think about Stephen King, everything is, it's horror. It's thriller and horror, but he does stories that are so different than you can see on the screen, right? She's read It, which is on the TV. She's read all those other stuff. It's just your interpretation of how you read in the book. She doesn't get scared reading a book. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
You know,
it's your imagination
and how you go through it, through every scene that goes through. But within the movie, it's their interpretation of going, okay, you hear this, the sounds.
Yeah, they ramp it up.
The voice,
in
they
film,
ramp it
yeah.
up and everything. So yeah. I guess I know what you mean without that too, yeah.
Yeah. All right, awesome. So people who are listening, what have you been watching? You know, what have you been streaming? We'd love to hear as well. Anything that's noteworthy that you think that was a bit, that's more... You know, that stands out from what I've been watching recently. We'd love to know. So before we go, there's a couple of things. First of all, if you're listening for the first time, this is a fortnightly podcast. So we produce episodes that come out every 2 weeks. We're actually going to take a mid-August break. I think it's mid-August anyways, but we're just going to take a break after this episode. Just so I think we all need just a little bit of a a break to step back for a while. You know, it's perfect timing for us because we're in restrictions and it makes life a little bit busier and a bit more hectic in some ways as well. So, and also we're experiencing now what people in America are very used to, and that is wearing masks while you're out and while you're
Wearing masks now.
So while we're working, so when I work as a teacher, I can take off my mask when I'm in class to talk to students. Mm. All my students have to wear masks. When I'm, when I'm outside the classroom, when I'm in my office doing work, whatever, I have to wear a mask for the rest of the day. I'm not complaining about it, but it is a very different experience. And even psychologically, just seeing a whole bunch of young people in front of me with masks on is very different too. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So some countries they have to do it all the time, in China and Hong Kong, I see them wearing it all the time. It's viruses, but of course it's the pollution as well.
Part of the culture as well.
It's part of the culture with that. And then, when we walk around, we see people with masks on and I think, is that person sick or what's happening?
It's like, oh, that's different.
Well, now we have to assume everyone's sick.
And then it's just funny now you've learned on the news, everyone's blinging.
Yeah.
Some
I saw glitter ones this morning. I gotta get one of those. I bought Pikmin ones and SpongeBob ones for the kids.
Give it a bit of a blink. You give it a bit more positivity and happiness in your mask. And you just get this medical thing on your face and go, that's cool.
Right.
We're not taking a break because we have to wear masks. We're taking a break just one because we need one,
and to talk with a mask on the microphone.
We're
part of the crew.
Yeah. So anyway, there won't be an episode in 2 weeks, but there will be one in 4 weeks. So just keep your subscription. You'll see us pop up again, and we can't wait to be sharing more Catholics of Oz with you. So in the meantime, though, we would love to thank you all for joining episode 38 of the Catholics of Oz. And as always, we'd love to thank patrons, you wonderful people who are able to give. We are so grateful that even in these times, you're able to give to the StarQuest Network and keep it all going. So today, I would love to thank Jack D, Ken K, Luke E, Tim and Marie M, and Josh C. So through their generous donations at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for the Catholics of Oz and all of the other shows on StarQuest to continue. And if you're not listening to them, you must. And if you're listening to us because you've come from another show, hello, welcome. We're glad to have you listening. But you can join at SQ. And sorry for the Big Brother reference. Yeah. And you can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. I think when we get to end of episodes now, it gets really hard. Well, always gets a bit laughy now at this point.
I think it is.
But thank you for all those who are able to give. If you can't give, please pray for us, and please know that we pray for everyone who listens to this show as well, because the prayer support and our closeness to God and our being transformed by Jesus is so important, especially in these days as well. But also, we'd love to know what you think about what we've talked about in today's show. Tell us about your favorite TV shows. Are you watching rocket launches, things like that? What is your parish doing? How's your parish coming out of COVID, if it is? How are you emerging and resetting your parish so that it's full of missionary disciples? We'd love to know. Don't forget that you can see all of our episodes posted on Facebook's StarQuest page at facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. And don't forget, the Catholics of Oz have their own Facebook page as well. facebook.com/Catholics of Oz. I should put /chicken because a lot of our posts are chicken posts for Caroline's chickens who are laying eggs now. Yes. Well done, Caroline.
Thank you.
Yeah, but join us in discussing our latest episodes. Yeah, proud chicken mother. Yeah, she's proud mother hen.
Yes, so, I am.
There you go.
And also you can email us, as some people have done as well, email us at catholicsofoz@sqpn.com. Caroline, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. I think we're wrapping up on time because my chickens are in the geraniums. I need to go and chase them out. So, yes.
No worries.
Thanks, guys. Oh, no. It was fun. Oh, no.
And before she flies away, Lena, thank you so much for being on the show as well.
It's been awesome, guys. And I'd like to say everyone have a very safe and happy time off, especially, is it the Americans having their, spring break coming soon? Is that correct?
Possibly.
Spring break, yeah.
Well, if they are, we'll go with that.
Yep.
Just you can let us know.
Yep. Just stay safe and keep well, people. God bless.
Absolutely. Yes. And once again, I'm Lindsay Sant, and thank you very much for listening to episode 38 of The Catholics of Oz on StarQuest.